This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. I'm Khoo Sitrung, joined by Wong Xiaoning. In about 15 minutes, we'll talk to the public health specialist, Dr. Sanjay Rampal, on Malaysia's response to COVID-19. But before that, markets. In America, the Dow is down 0.7%, the S&P down by 0.8%, and the Nasdaq down by 0.8%.
Yeah, that was not surprising because it looks like there isn't going to be a stimulus plan. I think Steven Mnuchin played down plans for that. But meanwhile, we look at Asian markets. Nikkei was up 0.1%, Hang Seng was up 0.1%. Also, Shanghai Composite was down 0.6%, Straits Times Index was down 0.5%, and the FBMK LCI was down 0.1%.
On the line with us now is Tony Nash of Complete Intelligence for some clarity on markets. Tony, thanks for talking to us. Now, obviously, the Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs have all reported results so far. What is your take on the financial sector earnings thus far?
Well, they're okay. Goldman obviously reported really well. Bank of America is down 5%, so there was a huge disappointment there. Could get worse. So a lot of that had to do with these penalties that were levied several weeks ago. But, you know, it looks like the investment banks are doing much better than the consumer banks. And until we get a next round of stimulus and we start to see money moving into the accounts of those guys who are unemployed, which is not a small number in the U.S., I think consumer banks will continue to suffer.
Yeah, Tony, on that particular issue, on that impasse in terms of a stimulus being introduced before elections, what is the biggest deterrent to some kind of consensus being reached on that front?
You know, one of the biggest issues is that you have a lot of states, all of them that are Democrat states, that are heavily indebted. So what the House Majority Leader is pushing is a bailout program for those Democrat states like California, New York, Illinois, that have billions of dollars in debt that have been racked up over the last 10 or 20 years. So what are typically, say, Republican states typically have balanced budgets. So it would effectively be the Republican states bailing out the Democrat states. And it's a problem here in the U.S. So, you know, that is really the item that's holding up. The other item is the House Majority Leader, Nancy Pelosi, wants to give stimulus checks to illegal immigrants in the U.S. They want to give, I don't know, a few thousand dollars to people who are in the U.S. illegally. And the Republicans are saying, no, why would we do that? So those are two of the things that are really holding things up in terms of the stimulus plan. And it's electioneering. You know, it's Democrats want to give money to the party faithful in their heavily indebted blue states. And they also want to try to get some votes from the illegal aliens who aren't legally allowed to vote, but they want to get some loyalty from those illegal immigrants who are in the U.S.
And Tony, another thing that seems to be having an impact on markets is, of course, vaccine news. So every time we hear of a vaccine trial failing, markets correct. Is it possible at all to quantify how much of this is in the markets already in terms of optimism?
You know, I think, vaccine news is to Q4 2020 what trade news was to Q2 2019, you know, and Q3 2019 and so on and so forth. You remember every day whenever we needed a bump in markets, Trump would tweet, you know, a trade deal is near. And then we finally had the phase one deal in December or whatever. Right. So, you know, it seems like whenever there's a tweet or some news about a vaccine, it's because there's a bump in markets is needed. So there's a lot of cynicism among traders about vaccine. I think until we see something actually proven and actually in a market, you're not going to see real firm belief in the difference it can make. So it's going to be at least Q1 or so before we see things deployed en masse, not necessarily just a concept or early version of a vaccine. So we don't necessarily expect the benefits to happen until 21. But the problem, at least here in the U.S., is that nobody wants to be the guinea pig. And so Americans, at least half of Americans surveyed, I think it's like 60% of Americans surveyed, don't want to be the first one. So they're going to have to see, we're going to have to see some high-level politicians go in, roll up their sleeves, get the jab, and really face the consequences if there are any negative consequences, because a lot of Americans just aren't believers and they're really worried about the effects of it.
Okay, switching to the UK, Tony, if the UK fails to negotiate a Brexit deadline deal today, how should investors position themselves? And would you recommend shorting sterling assets?
You know, I think it's a possibility. I don't know if I'd necessarily recommend it, because I think, you know, the status quo is kind of baked into expectations. So we haven't necessarily had a positive outlook to negotiations for, what, 2 or 3 years now. So I think the expectation is that things will continue to kind of muddle through and markets will fold that in. So I don't know, outside of a very positive agreement for the UK, I don't necessarily think there's huge upside anywhere. And outside of a very negative concession given by the UK, I don't think there's huge downside anywhere. Because the EU is just intransigent. They've been embarrassed by this whole process. They don't want to negotiate, and they're not moving at all. So I kind of think we're in the range of where things will be outside of a major announcement somewhere.
And Tony, very quickly looking at China, yesterday or a few days ago, Xi Jinping's speech has outlined a comprehensive vision of for Shenzhen. What does this mean for Hong Kong's economic future? Do you see a bright or bleak one for the city-state?
Oh, Hong Kong's fate was sealed in 2014 with the demonstrations, and I've been saying this since 2015. So, you know, at that time, the NDRC and the folks in the central government were planning to, you know, planning on other options for the activities that were happening in Hong Kong. What we saw with the announcement in Shenzhen yesterday was simply cementing Shenzhen's place, the centrality at the end of the PRD, right? At the end of the Pearl River Delta. And so Hong Kong is no longer the central location. It is a place to get hard currency, that sort of thing, but it's no longer an industrial location. And I believe we'll start to see financial services move to other places over the next 10 years. Not an overnight activity, but it's something that certainly the central government wants to happen.
Okay, Tony, thanks so much for your time. That was Tony Nash of Complete Intelligence. Now, his comments in terms of China also resonate, because we've got certain diplomats and top-ranking government officials coming to the ASEAN region for a charm offensive, but also his comments on banks. Tale of two halves, really. Consumer banks like Wells and Bank of America really failed to meet expectations. In fact, no, they did meet expectations, but they fell some way short of year-on-year performance numbers. But then the investment banks like Goldman Sachs have done really well because of the trading desks and the stimulus checks that were written in the third quarter.
Yeah, actually 2020 is a reverse of 2008 during the Great Financial Crisis. If you remember then, American banks that suffered were all the investment banks, right, because of the derivative losses and the books exposed to the sharp fall in equity markets. But this time round, actually, the volatility has really helped them. So for a change, they've seen incredible jumps in their trading investment income. But it's the Main Street banks which are feeling the pinch. So yes, there's an increase in the deposits for these banks, but for the consumer banks, for the Main Street banks, nobody or less people are taking up loans. There's less credit card usage as a result. So, you know, not such good times for the consumer banks, better for the investment bank guys out there.
Yeah, of course, and Morgan Stanley reports tomorrow. We saw net interest margins at Wells and Bank of America really being crushed as well. And not many companies reporting earnings are giving outlook statements, so we don't really know going forward what business will be. Okay, it is 7:15 right now. We'll come back after this with more news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.